case this morning is number 06-3243, Shimon Haroun et al. Against the Attorney General. Mr. Trace here, counsel for the petitioner here. Okay, thank you. The attorney apparently is not here. I'm going to ask Ms. Sengler if you would wait, and we'll call the case again a little bit later. Is this Mr. Trace? I guess we're ready to proceed then.
Richard Trace on behalf of the petitioner Shimon Akhtar Haroun. And this matter is an asylum case where the petitioner filed shortly after his arrival in 1994 in the United States from Saudi Arabia, although he's a native of Pakistan. Pardon me. The theme of this argument is primarily on the judge's opinion, which we feel fails to focus on those discrepancies which supported his conclusion that the petitioner was, in fact, not credible. There were some variances in his testimony with the first asylum application that he filed, but he attempted to correct those in his testimony, correct the discrepancies and the variances, by explaining that the first asylum application was prepared by a person in New York, not an attorney, shortly after his arrival. And he tried to distance himself from some of the errors in that particular asylum application. But he testified consistently with his second application filed many, many years later. He's been here, of course, for the past 17 years. It is an asylum case, and he has to show either past persecution or reason fear of future persecution at the hands of the government, or those that the government cannot control. And he's alleging in his testimony, in his application, he stated that he was a part of the MQM movement, that he separated himself from that faction of the MQM movement, which turned to be terrorist in some people's eyes and violent and recognized by our government as those members belonging to that faction, not warranting asylum in this country. So he claims that members of the MQM movement themselves threatened him and the government itself. Things have changed so radically since he's been there that he alleged in his testimony that he has even al-Qaeda to fear and the general overthrow of the government by President Musharraf several years ago. So he's, I think, his only case rests upon whatever fear he has, reasonable, to return to Pakistan after all these years. And there isn't much of past persecution, although he does allege one particular incident, but admittedly that doesn't rise to the level of past persecution. I just think his whole case rests on some allegation of reasonable fear of returning to that particular country, given his alleged political involvement, and the fact in our particular argument that the judge, I don't think, specifically identified those discrepancies sufficient enough to support
the conclusion. I thought his 10 years in Saudi Arabia was a big problem.
He claimed he was there for 10 years, and even the attorney for the
government. He did claim that?
Yes, from 84 to 94, I believe. And then he made some visits back to Pakistan during that period.
Well, how could all these things in Pakistan have occurred to him if he was in Saudi Arabia?
He alleges he went back on certain visits. His whole family lived in Pakistan except for, I think, one sibling in Canada. And so he did visit family, and he claimed he worked there, and the two children were, in fact, born in Saudi Arabia. There was confusion about that. Even the judge was confused about that. The attorney for the government was confused about that as well. I just think our whole point is that the judge didn't identify specifically enough those grounds of variance and inconsistency which supported the finding of not credible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trace. We'll hear now from Ms. Engler.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Jill Zengler on behalf of the Attorney General. In regard to the IJ's adverse credibility finding, the record fully supports the IJ's decision, and the IJ very carefully considered all of the inconsistencies in Mr. Haroun's testimony. It's significant to note that while he now states he tries to disavow his first application, he didn't do that until he was cross-examined by DHS counsel at the hearing. And that cross-examination revealed a number of inconsistencies, that being his first application said he lived in Pakistan, when in fact on his second application and in his testimony, he admitted he in fact had lived in Saudi Arabia for 10 years. He also admitted only on cross-examination that when he left Saudi Arabia for Pakistan, he only returned in 1985 and 1990. His claims for persecution rested on two incidences of alleged detention that on his first application he said occurred in 91 and 93. Obviously, as Your Honor pointed out, that could not have occurred if he wasn't there. The IJ went through every one of his allegations of persecution and of his fears to return and made specific findings as to inconsistent statements and the documentary evidence, including the country reports that were inconsistent with his testimony regarding conditions in Pakistan today. Another big inconsistency was when in his first application he stated that he had a younger brother who had been detained and beaten and tortured in Pakistan. On cross-examination, he admitted that that wasn't his real little brother, but he didn't indicate who that individual actually was. The record in this case indicates that Mr. Haroon was simply incredible. The IJ made the alternative finding that even if his testimony was credible, it didn't rise to the level of persecution. As his counsel has admitted today, it didn't rise to the level of past persecution. Significantly, his biggest fear is nothing more than the generalized fear that all Pakistanis face, generalized fear of terrorism, of Al-Qaeda. And I believe on cross-examination, Mr. Haroon said that really his biggest fear upon return was that his children would have a difficult time adjusting because they didn't speak the language. None of those rise to the level of a fear of future persecution contemplated by Congress. Unless the court has any questions, the United States will rest on its brief and ask that you deny the petition for review. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Ms. Engler. How much time does Mr. Trace have? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Trace. Thanks to both counsel in the case, and the case will be taken under advisement.